we sing to the glory of God, whether we had an orchestra or just a hymn book. Amen. This is not an entertainment center. Amen. And I know some of y'all like them drums going and that choir rocking. They can rock and roll all they want. It won't match the great choir that's going to be in heaven. And that ought to be the one we're looking forward to hearing. But while we're here, we ought to be getting prepared for that glorious day. Amen. We are in going back to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. We are in sermon number 31. Out of Ephesians, and God put it on my heart to preach through it and preach through it. I'm going to do, because I don't want God to tell me why I'm up here. Well, I asked you to preach through Ephesians, and the people said they didn't want to hear you stop, so I ain't got nothing else to tell you. I don't want to hear that. I want to say, help me, Lord. Preach to your people and teach your people the Word of God. He didn't call me to be an entertainer. He called me to preach the Word. And he gave Timothy the admonition. He said, Timothy, preach the Word in season and out of season. When they want to hear it and when they don't. And I just love the book of Ephesians. Somebody say, what book don't you love? I love the Word of God. The believer who has trouble with any of Paul's preaching is troubled. This is an awesome book. Awesome lesson today. We're going to talk about marriage. How about that? Somebody say, well, I'm too old to be married. I don't want to be married. That's the person we want to speak to today. That person is going to say, I don't want to be married. We're going to speak to some people today. Let's open up Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at verses 21 through 33. 21 through 33. Now, I don't know where Jackie at, so I'm going to make sure she's on the tape. So I know she's going to listen to us. So I'm going to make sure I put her out there. Jake told me, but y'all going to have to ask him. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at 21 through 33. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Amen, men. Now, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let me say that again. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Amen. Amen. Father God, thank you. Thank you for marital instructions. Thank you for the blessedness of marriage. Thank you, Father God, for the desire you have put in the heart of the believer to not only want to be married, but to have a wonderful marriage, to have a great marriage, a marriage where the wife loves the husband and the husband loves the wife, and together they both submit unto you first and then to each other. But we know, Father God, you are the glue that holds marriages together. And you are more than super glue. You are a great glue. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And I talk about my mother a lot because I love my mother. And I know Mother's Day was last week, and we talked about mothers, and we talked about some great mothers in the Bible. But my mother used to have a word, and I've said it many times, and it was called audacity. When we would do something that she just didn't think we could do, she would say, "You have the audacity to do that or say that or whatever." And that word audacity means boldness. Boldness. It goes a daring, especially with confidence or an arrogant disregard for personal safety or conventional thought. That's coming right out of the Webster. You know, many marriages fail because of what other folks think of your marriage. A lot of marriages in trouble because of what other folks think. What another wife said she wouldn't do that you do. I mean, if you're the kind of wife and you tell, if you own your job and you say, you know, it's 4 o'clock, I need to be home because I like to be home when my husband get home. There's some women on the job that will give you the blues about that. I know some women on the job, if the supervisor or the warden in my case would ask them to do something, they would run like the dickens. But it's hard for them to make their husband a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. This ought to be interesting. Think about this. When is the last time, and some of you single folks that don't want to get married, when is the last time you've seen a great marriage? Think about that. When is the last time you've seen a great marriage? Clearly, you don't have to say nothing because we know you've experienced it. But when is the last time you've seen a great marriage? When is the last time somebody walked up to you and said, "You just have a wonderful marriage"? What is the secret of your marriage? What are you doing that I could do to make my marriage just seem so beautiful like what you're doing? You would think that they would be able to come to the church and see that. Should. Over 50% of all church folks getting divorced. Now that number is inflated because a lot of the ones that are really faithful to the scriptures, faithful to Bible study and prayer and serving the Lord, their marriages will survive. There's a story. There's a man. He went to the graveyard to visit a lost loved one. And he looked over and he seen a man there. And the man was just crying and screaming, "Why did you have to die? Why did you have to die? Why did you have to die?" And he went on and on and on. And finally the man went on, put his arm around the man and said, "You know, I'm sorry, but are you all right? Is that your wife?" And he said, "No. It was our first husband." All right. That's just an icebreaker. Marriage. Marriage is wonderful. And it's too bad that young people, especially church folks, don't want to get married. And somebody might say, "Well, you know, I'm past marrying age, and what's this message has to do for me?" It has a lot to do with you. Amen. Every one of us in here. Because we have nieces and nephews and grandchildren coming up. And they ought to know. We ought to be able to teach them. As men and women of God, we ought to be able to talk to our young people about the joy and the wonder of biblical marriage. One thing we have to really keep in mind as we read Ephesians. And we can never lose sight of it. Just like when we studied 1 Peter this morning, we can never lose sight of the fact that 1 Peter was written to a persecuted church, a church that was under attack for standing on the Lord or preaching the word. Ephesians was written to save people. People who knew the Lord. Gentile believers who had came to the Lord and were now really struggling in some instances with their faith. And again, we are Gentiles. And many of us will struggle with our walk with the Lord. And this is why this letter is so important to me, to make sure that we know the truth of God's word. And especially when it comes to marriage. Okay, and we're sort of going to be in this maybe another week or so. Last week we talked about Mother's Day, and we preached about great mothers that trust the Lord. And we talked about Jochebed and how she raised Miriam and Aaron and Moses. And if you go to Hebrews 11, it talks about how both parents agreed to put Moses in this water. It wasn't Jochebed by herself. Okay. We talked about Naomi and Naomi's great witness. Her witness was so great that Ruth left everything to follow Naomi. And we need some Naomis in the house. Naomi went through some things. We talked about Naomi went through some things, and she lost a husband. And then she lost one son. Faith never wavered. Love for the things of God never wavered. Ruth, watching now. Ruth is watching. Yeah. Just like the unsaved world is watching you.
Amen.
Ruth lost a second son. Mm-hmm. Guess what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the things of the Lord.
Yeah.
Not saying that she wasn't sad, not saying that she wasn't brokenhearted. Some of us in here have lost children.
Yeah.
Some of us in here have lost children.
Yeah.
Did y'all get that?
Amen.
Some of us have lost children due to death. Some of us have lost children due to sin. It should not cause our faith to waver. Our children, our lost children, the ones that are lost and still alive, need to see us standing fast in the things of God. They need to see us committed to the things of God. They need to see us working through some issues by the power of God. The dying world, especially those that are closest to us, need to see the power of God at work in our life, even through the good times and the bad. Amen. Last week we talked about the evidences of the Spirit-filled life. How about that? The Spirit-filled believer. Now, I know I've been on a rampage this morning because we are so messed up when it comes to what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Call it what you want. Same thing. Okay? Now, what is the evidences of the Holy Spirit? We've seen it in Ephesians 5 and 20 and 18, excuse me. 18, it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. What's that mean? To be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit means that you are being controlled by the Word of God. Okay? Being filled with the Spirit does not mean that you got a holy dance. Okay? It doesn't mean that you've been slain in the Spirit. It doesn't mean that you speak in tongues and different things. Being filled with the Spirit means that your life is under the control of God's Word.
Amen.
And because it is, you're going to be thankful. Look at verse number 19. Speaking to yourself in psalms. Those are songs that are directed toward God. And hymns. And spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The Spirit-filled person, the person who's filled with the Spirit of God, will be a joyful person. They will love the things of God. They will love the house of God. They will love the people of God. They will love God's Word. Because when they receive God's Word, it gives them power to live in a fallen world. Or as Jeremy was saying, a world that is spiraling downward. It takes strength to go upstream. I've told the story of the great salmon run. Those salmon are exhausted when they get to their destination to have those eggs. And on the way toward that destination, you have hunters or fishermen are helicoptered into these places, bears slapping them out of water, all type of predators on the way. And it's a picture of the child of God. On your way to heaven, you will have obstacles. You might get slapped around. Oh, somebody don't know what I'm talking about. Somebody living their best life now. Somebody living real good now, and their Christian life is really, really good. That's not true.
Amen.
That's not true if you stand for anything.
Amen.
Listen, Paul gives this third illustration of what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 21, where we're going to start our lesson today. Committing yourselves one to another in the fear of God. He's taken our spirit-filled lives out of the church into the home. See, if your spirit-filled life don't leave church. See, some folks will leave their Bible on the pew and don't I get it Sunday. And it's the only one they got. Some of us, I've walked through the parking lot of Walmart and I've seen Bibles in the back window of cars just dried all up. The pages all yellow and the cover just curled all up. A whole bottle of armor all wouldn't bring that back to life. The spirit-filled believer takes his Christianity home. You know, there's a saying, there's river Christians and pond Christians. How many know what the difference between a river and a pond is? See, a river is flowing all the time. It's flowing all the time. It's moving all the time. And the rivers feed the ponds. But ponds don't feed nothing. Okay? Sometimes a pond can stink up the whole neighborhood. See, we got some pond Christians and we got some river Christians. Naomi was a river Christian. Her Christianity flowed. Even when life came against it, it flowed. Flowed and touched other folks' lives. And like I said last week, I really believe Bethlehem, when Naomi came back, was a better place. And everywhere we go as believers, it should be a better place. Whether it's on the job, whether it's in our homes, in our neighborhood, our community, everything that the man or woman of God touches ought to be better. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we look at the audacity of marriage, and somebody, why do you title that? Because it takes that. It takes that. I'm not sitting here telling any of you young folks that are single that marriage is easy.
No.
Okay? It takes audacity to have a good marriage. It takes boldness, and you have to have a confidence in God.
Amen.
And you can't worry about what other folks say. You don't need to be home with your husband, or if you need to be home with your wife and all the boys are going fishing or golfing or bowling, and you... I'm spending time with my wife and family this week.
Yes, sir.
You will be ridiculed by the world for taking a stand, but the world hates marriage because Satan hates marriage.
Amen.
Marriage is under attack. And he don't care. I told you about LeBron James and how the world is using LeBron James to convince young African Americans that you don't need to be married. Just have baby after baby. And you see on a commercial, and he got his two babies and eat Cheerios with them, and we know he ain't married. What message is that? What message is going out to the young brothers? No need to get married. Sometimes I'll read the obituaries and I'll see a 22-year-old young boy that got killed and got seven kids. Two in Georgia, two in Columbus, one in Cleveland, one in Akron, one in Youngstown. That's a lot of work for a 22-year-old. It is what it is. Can't take care of them, don't have them. Listen. Let's talk to the women first, and I'm going to talk to the men, and we're going to get out of here. Look at verses 21 through 24. And again, this point here, wives, do what is humanly impossible. God has set impossible standards for the wife. These are impossible standards, humanly. So we can say with Christ, all things are possible. It's going to take the power of God to fulfill God's direction for the wife. And some of y'all that have been married, some of y'all that are married, some of y'all that aren't married need to listen. These are impossible standards. Look at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. What is Paul trying to say here? He's saying, love your husbands. Treat your husband with the same respect you would treat the Lord.
Amen.
He is the Lord. in your marriage. Why? Because first of all, you are submitted to God. And your marriage ought to glorify God. The way you treat your husband ought to give God glory. I don't know. Kira, what do you think of that? In the good times and the bad. Even when your husband is acting like a fool. Not you, Justin. The way you deal with him should glorify God. Am I making sense? Claire, am I making sense? Even when the husband is being a rude boy, a knucklehead, we still have a responsibility to God to deal with him in a way that God is glorified.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's interesting, isn't it? Listen, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord. Why? That's not a suggestion. See, this is not a book of suggestions. Okay? That's a command. Okay? Somebody say, give them scripture. That is a command. We are commanded to do it. I'm getting around to the men. Hang in there now. Y'all keep your amens going too, men. For the husband is the head of the wife. And if the husband is serving the Lord and has given his life to the Lord, has submitted his life to the Lord, what wife wouldn't?
Amen.
What wife wouldn't? Now, I've told the story of Sydney and I. We coming out of Walmart, and I got the 2 20-pound bags of charcoal in the buggy. We get to the car, pop the trunk. I say, Sydney, go ahead, throw that in the back. Sydney said, "No, you're the man." Got in the car and started sipping on her little Pepsi or whatever. It is what it is. Okay? Listen. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. Now, that's interesting. Who is head of the church? Christ. Christ. Now, if the man is in his position in honoring Christ, the wife needs to fall up under that. Because, you guess what? This man is getting his instructions on how to treat you from the Lord. So it ought not be an issue, because I'm being instructed by God. And if that wife is understanding of that and knows that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, that wife would know that she's in good hands.
Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about a husband that's telling you to wait outside in the getaway car. And I got to be obedient. Because that's not going to fly when you stand before the judge. Well, I would just, you know, my pastor was preaching last week about being subject to your husband as unto the Lord. And he told me to, when I come running out, had the door open. That's not what it's saying. Okay. It says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husband in everything. Okay? Because we know the word of God says in every good and perfect gift come from the above. Okay, so if you got a husband that fears God, that reverends God, that loves the Lord, you ought not have a problem serving him. You know, we got a lot of wives that are smarter than their husbands and make more money than their husbands, more educated than their husband, got more common sense than their husband, and in a lot of cases look better than their husbands. But Suppose you're driving a Volkswagen, small car, husband, and the wife is a 18-wheeler. See, some of y'all got some wives that like 18-wheelers. Now, the Volkswagen has the right of way. Okay? So that 18-wheeler, just because that 18-wheeler is powerful and dominant and smarter and more educated and better looking, she got to yield. That 18-wheeler can't say, well, I'm an 18-wheeler. And keep on going. Because if there's an accident, and if that wife is out of control, there will be an accident. Who's going to be at fault? Oh, some of y'all got the 18-wheeler wives. 18-wheelers. Heavy equipment. Let me tell you, young brother, something. Don't get you no 18-wheeler. You can help it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, sister. Everybody got quiet on that one. Okay. Okay, for the husband. I like this verse 23. Let's just keep going. For the husband is head of the wife. Don't give up your headship.
Amen.
Don't give up your headship, men. If you are God's man, God has placed you in position of headship. And I don't care what the women's lives say, the feminist movement say, it doesn't matter. Because God will judge you based on how you follow His instructions in marriage. We just got too many scared and wimpy men that don't want to stand. Sing it all you want. Stand on God's word and be men. That 18-wheeler is just. Therefore, verse 24. As a church, this is, you know, it's two scriptures here that really just stand out with me. I'm gonna probably get back to preaching maybe not in a couple years, hopefully. But look at verse 23 and 25, because 23 and 24 speaks of the church. Christ is head of the church. And in verse 24 it says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. The church is subject unto Christ. The church has to get its instructions from the Lord. See, a God-fearing woman will understand this. This is not going to rock her world. It's not going to make her feel inferior. This is designed to empower a woman. It says, therefore, as the church is subject to unto the Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. What is the motivation for submission? Well, I guess when you look at those scriptures and what is the motivation for submission? What would motivate a husband or a wife to fall in line with what the Word of God says? Christ. Somebody said it. That was Christ. Love for Christ. Love for Christ in obedience to the Scriptures. The Spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-controlled spouse loves the Scriptures and believes that they are truly the Word of God.
Amen.
And the Spirit-filled wife who understands that will have no problem fixing a husband a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Ironing their clothes, folding their underwear. That throw some out every once in a while. Young ladies, glory, I'm on you today. It's your day. You've been in church all your life. Don't come bringing no thugs up in here talking about marrying this man. He needs to. I said, I'm going to ask him. Do you love the Lord? Because if a man don't love the Lord, he can't love you. I'm just keeping it real. See, the kind of love you'll get from the man that don't love the Lord is, you know, you love me and I love you. You stop loving me and I'm going to stop loving you. Well, then you have to ask the world, wonder if I find out I got breast cancer and I lose these. Or wonder if I, you know, if I got cancer and my hair all fall out. Well, so I got the luck. Because my love is based on what you can do for me. That kind of love is not mentioned in the Bible. That would be called that Eros love, I believe. I'll love you as long as you look good and make me feel good. But when somebody else come along that can make me feel good, you know, it's like the movie we watch over here, the little boy had all the trucks. You know, he had one truck and he was playing with the truck. And he's like, playing with the truck. And then somebody put a new truck next to it. Bigger truck. He took that old truck and kicked to the side and got the new one. I hope somebody listened to me. It's just the word of God. Grandmother, help your grandchildren. Oh, Mary, out of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Listen, there's some experience in here now. There's some experience in here. There's some folk in here that you can talk to. See, the Bible says the older women ought to teach the younger. Now, there's some women in here that are married outside of the Lord, that have been in church all their life and married outside of the Lord. Now, they got some advice for you on what that's like. Okay? All right, so look around and say, "Are you the one he was talking about? I'm thinking about marrying this boy, and he's so fine. He's so fine, you know. He loved me. Somebody say that, like the Pennzoil commercial." You pay me now? You pay me later. Listen, people. These are impossible standards on our own. And you're going to get the word preached into you. And the word of God says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, we are not to be unequally yoked. And if you don't get the word preached into you and you run into someone who has the world preached into them, they're going to pull you out of the church and they're going to run you down and take all your sweetness and make you bitter and then kick you to the curb. Listen, what is the standard? Naomi showed us the standard. Your submissiveness to the Lord ought to shine through your life, even in the bad days. Let's talk about God's ridiculous commandment to the men. It's ridiculous. Seriously, this is crazy stuff. And I know the men in here. I talk to them. I watch them. This is crazy. It's their husbands. Love your wives. Yes, sir. See, I know some men with some difficult wives. Amen. Nobody in here. These are my co-workers. Got some difficult wives. Yeah. Hard to please. Women are hard to please. Right. Most of them ain't happy when they broke. Husbands, love your wives. That's not given to the women. Women aren't told to love their husbands. They're just told to be submissive. It's not in the Bible. You ain't going to find it nowhere in Scripture where you need to love me. So Kiara just didn't get the cranky and talk about, you need to love me. Find it in the Scripture. No, you're supposed to love me. I'm telling the truth. That go for you too. I ain't put no name on it. We are called husbands. This is impossible stuff. Love your wife. How? Even as Christ also loved the church. Now, if you come to marriage counseling, I'm going to answer that question. I'm pretty sure I asked Justin and Kiera that. Listen, you got to be able to answer that. How much do you love your wife? Do you love her as much as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it? Most of us don't even want to put down our golf clubs. You got to put down something. You can't do everything you're doing now and get married. You just can't. It's going to cost you something. Marriage is going to cost you something. Right, Deacon Napier?
True.
Listen, why? Why? Here's our job. Here's our job as husbands. You can't do this on the golf course. You can't do this in the bowling alley. Or on the lake. Or at the gym. Or at the baseball game or the football game. I mean, we got a long list of stuff we do. You can't love nobody if you don't have time for them. You can't love nobody if you ain't got time for them. Okay? You coming in the house 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock at night, working doubles and triples. Believe me, I know what I'm talking about. Love takes time. That's why I always hear people say, oh, I love the Lord. Do you spend time with the Scriptures? Do you spend time in prayer? Do you spend time in Bible study? Do you spend time talking to folks that also love the Lord?
Amen. Amen.
Love costs. And it takes time. When you get married, your life changes. You become one. Most folks don't need 2 refrigerators. You will get a married, you marry a woman and she got a house, you got a house, and something got to give. Okay. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and he gave himself for it. Christ died for the church. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. You and your wife have spent time in the word. Your job is to teach her the word of God. Answer her questions about the things of God. You ought to have an answer. Cindy don't say a whole lot in Bible studies and Sunday schools. But a lot of times on the way home she'll ask me about some things. And we'll talk. And I'm not saying that women ought not talk in Bible study. That's what I'm not saying. She just don't. That's just her. Okay? Listen, our job is to sanctify and cleanse our wives. Not that they got body odor or none of that. I'm not talking about that. But cleanse them and strengthen them. How? Spiritually. The Word of God is a washing, is a cleanser. And the more you got the Word of God in you, the more your wife is going to see the Word of God.
Amen.
At work in your life. And a wife that sees the Word of God working in a husband's life has no problem submitting to him. Cindy sees the Word of God working in my life.
Yes, yes. Amen.
There was a time she didn't.
Amen. Lord.
Thankful and good. It is what it is. This is the job of the husband. This is where this great debate comes in. Because the husband's job is to present to himself a glorious church. That he might present it to himself. Verse 27, a glorious church. You want your wife to be beautiful. Glorious. You want God to approve the way you have handled her, the way you have worked with her, the way you have talked to her, the way you have treated her. Because you're going to present her. When God looks at the marriage, He's looking at the man. There's problems in the marriage, He's looking at the man. When Adam and Eve was in the garden and they had messed up, He didn't call Eve. He said, Adam, where art thou? He didn't call Eve. By that time, Eve was like behind Adam anyway. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle. I told you these were impossible standards. But with God, all things are possible because God is going to look at the work we put in.
Amen.
And how we tapped into the power that He has made available to husbands and wives.
Yes.
Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be what? Holy. Without blemish. The Word of God says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord.
Amen.
There's a whole lot of unholy folks. Think they're going to heaven. You need holiness in your marriage. So ought men, verse 28, I'm going to move on. So ought men. He repeats it again. Gives a little charge to it. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. How about that? And this has nothing to do with the fact that you may be a little bit overweight or you don't work out or none of that stuff. That's not what this is talking about here. But if you are here and you got a little illness, a little problem, if you got good sense, you gonna check it out. Okay? If you feel like your blood pressure is a little high, you gonna go check it out because you don't wanna leave here. And you wanna feel good while you're here. Jesus and Paul are saying men are to love their wives as their own bodies because you become what? One. You become one. Now, look at verse 30. For we are members of His body. We are. Husbands, wives, all of us in here. Of His flesh and of His bone. We make up in this church a spiritual body. Okay? When one of us hurt, we all hurt. When one of us get bad news, we all get bad news. When one of us get good news, we all get good news. That's how the body operates. Okay? When you sit down and you go to Handles or one of these ice cream shops and you eat your favorite ice cream, the whole body feels good. That makes sense, don't it?
Amen.
He's like, mouth start watering. Some folks started tapping, moving. I watch Ray sometimes. He get ready to eat. He start moving his head and everything. Started a little dancing. Feet start twinkling. That happens.
Amen.
Listen. For this cause. Verse 31. We're going to finish this off. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and join, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. You ever notice you go to a wedding and they have the husband and wife there and they have them face each other. Okay? Now, a man and only a woman facing each other can become one. I'm making sense. Let me say it again. I'm not going to get graphic. But only a man and a woman facing each other can become one flesh.
Amen.
This is a great mystery. Verse 32. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Marriage. When folks look at your marriage, they see an institution designed by God for a man and a woman to become one. To become one. So when we look at the world we live and we look at the whole sodomite agenda, and like I said earlier, homosexuality is a sin. It's just a sin. But same-sex marriage is an abomination unto God, because two men or two women cannot become one. They cannot. But more than that, it is an attack on the authority of Scripture. It is an attack on God's holy word. It is an attack, because marriage represents God in the church. And if you want to destroy the church, you destroy marriage.
Amen.
You attack marriage. And Satan knows. And many, many of our people don't know. And I know there's some folks in here, well, I don't have a problem with, you know, two women or two men. It don't bother me. And I know instantly I'm talking to someone who don't know the Lord. It ought to burn you up. It ought to inflame you. The Word of God said, be angry and sin not. It ought to make you angry every time you hear one of these states signing off on same-sex marriage. It ought to burn your soul. It ought to hurt you. Because you know, like Jeremy said, his country is in trouble. It is in trouble. Nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular, so love his wife, even as himself. You see, it's husband, wife. Husband, wife. Let me share it. Let me share something. Let me give you something to take home. Let me give you something to take home. Because see, Jesus said in John, hey, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. So a lot of us say, oh, the Old Testament, oh. Listen. Leviticus 20:13. If a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. That's all. It's not the unpardonable sin. But scriptures like that ought to give the man or woman of God courage to stand and confront it when the opportunity comes about. But I know so many saints of God or Christians that just, you know, no problem with it, don't bother me. School system's full of it, you know, and our young people are growing up messed up and confused, messed up and confused. Nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular, so love his wife, even as himself. I just went on that tangent for a minute. I'm going to get right back to the marriage. Love your wife. How many times have we seen that? At least three times we are commanded. This is not a suggestion. Okay? Men, don't come to my office talking about my wife is crazy. It's not. I mean, there's no, you know, just go to another pastor. There's a lot of pastors that's in this town that are right now divorcing their wives. And right now have girlfriends and they would comfort you.
Amen.
Okay. So there's a lot of counseling you can get if you want to leave your wife. You won't get it from me. Because I believe in this. I believe in a God that parted the Red Sea.
Amen.
Turned water into wine.
Yes, sir.
Raised Lazarus from the dead.
Yeah.
I believe that God is powerful enough to change your husband.
Amen.
Or your wife.
Yeah.
We don't like to do that. Listen to what Peter says. Some of y'all familiar with this. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. No, I'm sorry. Uh-oh. I'm in trouble. I done stepped out on it. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 3. Go ahead, cry, baby. Don't worry about it. Listen. Here's what God says, and this goes both ways. It's directed toward the women, but it goes both ways. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. No, he's saying that word conversation means that don't mean you're talking. That's your lifestyle. That's your behavior. That's how you handle issues. That's what they hear you on the phone talking about to your so-called church friends. I mean, if you roasting the pastor and your godless husband is listening to you, see, good chance people ain't gonna want to come to that church. Okay? So when the unsaved people are around you, they ought to see the love of God in your behavior. Amen. I have to ask a question. I'm closed. Are you a river or a pond? Are you a river or are you a pond? Is the love of God that's in you flowing? I mean, are you? Some of us in here are just feeling several streams. You know, Jesus was preaching and he was preaching in the crowd and a woman had an issue of blood, and Jesus was preaching and she was crawling through the crowd, and she touched Jesus, and Jesus stopped. And he looked around. He knew who had touched him. I know he knew. He knew. Y'all know he knew. But he wanted her to testify. And he said, "Who touched me?" Peter, first of all. Of course. In this big old crowd. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of people. How would I know? And Jesus said, No. Somebody touched me. And Peter said, "How do you know?" That's not in the Bible. That's just me adding. Because Jesus said, "Because virtue without me." Now, on your job, in your family, in your home, there has to come some time where you felt power. power leave out of you. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you talk to somebody and you felt power leave out of you. If you got some power in you. Too many of us are drained and tired and broke down. Couldn't jump a motorcycle. We ought to be the most powerful people in this community.
Amen.
We ought to be powerful in our jobs, powerful in our communities, powerful in our homes. Amen.